Good afternoon, evening, I guess. I'd like to call to order the Conference Committee on House File 1141, the Omnibus Housing Finance and Policy Bill. A quorum is present. Today we are going to do a walkthrough of the spreadsheet and the policy language. Then we will turn to members for comments, discussion, and amendments before we close out the committee today. So I will turn to Mr. Olofsson to walk us through the spreadsheet.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Eric Olofsson, fiscal analyst for the Senate Housing and Homelessness Prevention Committee. In your packets, you should have a four-page spreadsheet titled Housing, Finance, and Policy Supplemental Budget Bill, Conference Committee Agreement, timestamp 5/12/2026, 3:17 p.m. Ms. Highmark and I will be focusing on the four right columns there for a conference committee agreement. So, and on page three are the change items that we'll walk through. So beginning on line 76, there's $14.275 million in FY27 for the Greater Minnesota Workforce Housing Development Program. This comes from a reallocation of aggregated interest earnings in the Housing Development Fund. Moving on to line 77, for the Manufactured Home Park Infrastructure Grants, there's $4 million from the aggregated earnings within the Housing Development Fund. On line 79, from the Family Homelessness Prevention and Assistance Program, or FHPAP, there's $38 million from the General Fund. This comes from the Tyler settlement cancellation. On line 80, for the also for FHPAP, there's $2 million from the aggregated earnings reallocation within the Housing Development Fund. On line 82, for the Minnesota NICE Home Share Pilot Program, there's $150,000 from the reallocated earnings in the Housing Development Fund. On line 83, for supportive housing, there's a one-time increase of $4 million from the aggregated earnings in the Housing Development Fund. And moving on down to HECAT, there's also a one-time increase of $150,000 from the aggregated earnings within the Housing Development Fund. And with that, I'll pass over to Ms. Highmark.
Ms. Highmark.
Madam Chair and members, Katrina Highmark, House Fiscal Analysis. I'll continue with line 90. There is an initial debt service payment from the General Fund for the authorization of $100 million in housing infrastructure bonds. That is a cost of $2 million in fiscal 29. $100 million in HIBs authorizations would also have a cost of $5.6 million in fiscal 2030, $8 million in fiscal 31, and ongoing for the life of the bonds, approximately 20 years. The next line is line 93, which is a one-time appropriation for a tenant hotline within the Capacity Building Grants Program. This is a $425,000 appropriation in fiscal 27, and this comes from the reallocated investment earnings from the Housing Development Fund. Line 95 is a cancellation of the unused tax forfeited settlement funds from the Tyler ruling and settlement that was enacted in Chapter 127 in 2024. This cancellation will be to the general fund and have a total savings of $40 million in fiscal 2026. The next line is line 97, which is a reallocation of the legislative appropriation investment earnings, which are currently in the Housing Development Fund. $25 million will be reallocated to fund the programs that my colleague and myself mentioned. This leads to total change items on line 99. Net savings of $2 million in fiscal 26 and 27, and a cost of $2 million in fiscal 28 and 29, which on line 100 demonstrates that this proposal is budget neutral over the budget forecast window. And that, Madam Chair, ends the walkthrough of the spreadsheet.
Thank you very much for that walkthrough. Now I will turn it over to Mr. Cope.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'm going to be walking through the Delete Everything Amendment titled Housing Agreement. I'll be doing Articles 1 and 2, and Ms. Painter will be doing Article 3. Article 1, Section 1 modifies a prior appropriation to the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency's supportive housing program. Earlier this session, that was amended to allow its use for continuum of care grantees. This would extend the availability of that appropriation for continuum of care grantees by 1 year and would return the money to the program if it wasn't needed for those purposes. Sections 2 and 3 of this article effectuate the appropriations and transfers that Mr. Olofsson and Ms. Highmark just highlighted. So I'm going to turn to Article 2. Article 2, Section 1 would authorize the issuance of $100 million in housing infrastructure bonds, and Section 2 would appropriate the money to the agency necessary to pay the debt service on those bonds. And Madam Chair, that concludes the walkthrough of Articles 1 and 2.
Ms. Painter?
Madam Chair, members, I'll take us through Article 3, housing policy. Starting on page 8, Section 1 would require the Housing Finance Agency to use interactive technology for board meetings and to live stream, record, and post those meetings. Page 9, Section 2 does not allow the Housing Finance Agency to take administrative retentions for new grant programs. And this language expires at the end of the 2028 fiscal year. Section 3 starts on page 9 and goes to page 10. It allows transfers into the Housing Development Fund and states that money cannot be transferred out of the Housing Development Fund for purposes other than what the Housing Development Fund is for. On page 10, section 4 requires the Housing Finance Agency to distribute interest earnings in accordance with the new subdivision, which I'll talk about in a minute, and also requires the agency to inform chairs and ranking minority members in writing prior to making a transfer. On page 11, Section 5 makes changes to the agency's annual operating report. On page 12, Section 6 is that new subdivision 5, which prescribes how the Housing Finance Agency should use its investment earnings. Section 7 on page 13 adds language referring to that subdivision 5 use language and specifies that earnings from state appropriations be used for administrative costs for state appropriated programs only. Also on page 13, section 8 requires the Housing Finance Agency to notify the legislature when making a transfer. Section 9 on page 13 adds clarifying language to the local public housing program. On page 14, section 10 inserts an exemption for the lived experience engagement for those providing advice to the Housing Finance Agency. That income would not be considered for their eligibility for public assistance. Also on page 14, section 11 requires the Housing Finance Agency to report to the legislature on providing legislative fiscal staff with access to agency accounting information. And then section 12, the repealer, repeals the other agency uses subdivision of the Housing Development Fund.
Thank you to our nonpartisan staff for that walkthrough and also for your work in putting all of this together for us. Members, do we want to go to amendments? Chair Howard?
Yes, hold on just a second. I will be moving. Hold on, I just gotta get the right number here. I'll move the A-12 amendment.
Chair Howard moves the A-12 amendment. Do you want to describe
the amendment? Members, the A-12 amendment is a bipartisan provision. The language can be found in Senate File 4367 and House File 4186. It's a provision that allows local units of government, in particular counties, HRAs, cities with AA bond ratings or over 100,000 population, to utilize certain high-quality, long-term fixed-income investments, and specifically investments whose funds and focus is the investment to build more housing. This isn't a mandate that cities have to do this. It just creates this option for a win-win situation where cities can utilize some of their long-term investments into funds that have the outcome of building more housing. Would note that the provision passed the Senate floor 45-21, this is the time of year where provisions are looking for homes, and the Housing Conference Committee is a good home for this provision to get across the finish line.
Members, comments? Chair Igo.
Thank you, Chair Port, and thank you, Chair Howard, for the amendment. Appreciate the work that all of us chairs and members of this conference committee have done on this provision. I'm happy to support it and make sure it's in our bill today, because at a time in a housing crisis where we need to be unlocking every potential possible to build more homes across the state of Minnesota, this is a tool that's going to help us get there, and it's going to do it in partnership with all the wonderful trades across the state of Minnesota. So can't say enough good things about it, and looking forward to adding it to our conference committee report today.
Any other discussion? I will just say, when I had conversations with folks about this, it's also a really stable fund, which at a time of increased instability in the world, shall I say, stable investments are really important to our municipalities. So I look forward also to supporting this. Seeing no other discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Senator Bolden.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would offer the A16.
Vice Chair Bolden offers the A16. Do you want to describe your amendment, Senator Bolden?
Yes. So, members, this is the Manufactured Housing Bill of Rights that you are likely familiar with. We heard in committee over the session and throughout the session, we heard from many, many residents who live in manufactured homes, and heard about the challenges and really egregious practices that they are experiencing from some of the park owners. And so this is work they have done a lot of organizing in their communities. They have knocked thousands of doors, and this addresses some of the biggest challenges that they are experiencing, and includes the opportunity to purchase. It includes some enhanced enforcement for things that are already in place, and it includes a measure to address the really egregious and significant rent increases that they are experiencing. And as we talk about rent, it isn't sort of rent as you might think of in apartments or other places, as most of these folks own their homes. They own the homes and they rent the land underneath them. But they are experiencing increases in rent of 8, 10, 12 plus percent year over year, which the effect of that is that it's pricing people out of their homes. And so in some cases, again, they own their homes, but when they get priced out, they lose their homes. And a lot of work has gone into this. Every year that we don't pass this, more people are being harmed and losing their homes. And so I really just want to say thank you and share appreciation for the residents who have been pushing for this work over time, because it is their communities that are being impacted and they are calling on us to take action. So I would ask for support and a roll call.
Thank you, Chair Bolden, or Vice Chair Bolden. Appreciate your work on this. Members, discussion on this provision. Senator Lucero, I saw your hand was up. Was that to bring an amendment or to discuss this one?
I was going to offer an amendment, but Senator Bolden beat me.
I will add you to the list. Any other discussion on Senator Bolden's? Chair Howard.
I would just voice support for Senator Bolden's amendment, and voice support for the really powerful stories that I think we've heard for many sessions now from Minnesotans all across the state on this issue. And it really feels like the legislature might not be able to get it across this year. We should, and just wanted to highlight that is a deep disappointment and a ground that we need to continue to work on. And one thing that I know that's been clear based on the organizing and the work and the stories of Minnesotans that are pushing for change is they're not going away. And that's a credit to the relational work they're doing in their own communities and with us. And it's why I suspect that this conversation it might not end today with this going in this bill, but the deep need for this, that conversation is going to continue in full force when we finish the session.
Additional discussion, members? Chair Igo.
Thank you, Chair Port. I'll just make a few comments. And again, we've had this discussion a lot in committees in our respective chambers. We've had it at our first conference committee meeting. There's a good discussion, I think, forming around, unfortunately, with some of the provisions that are in this bill. I just can't be supporting them today. And I think that we as the Housing Committee, like I said a few days ago, need to continue to look at things that are also driving costs in all of our communities, whether it's manufactured housing, whether it's multifamily housing, whether it's single-family homes. And I think that's how we're going to root out the causes that this bill, this amendment, is going to try and address. So today, I can't support it, but look forward to collaborate and try and solve some of these issues in other ways.
Any other discussion on this amendment? Seeing none, I was reminded we're supposed to be doing roll calls because we need support from all three caucuses. So CJ, Ms. Larson will take the roll.
Chair Port?
Yes.
Vice Chair Bolden?
Aye.
Senator Lucero?
No.
Chair Howard?
Yes.
Chair Igo?
Igo, no.
Representative Kozlowski?
Yes.
Representative Nash?
Thank you. There not being a majority in all three caucuses, the amendment is not adopted. Additional amendments. Senator Lucero.
Thank you. I would like to offer the A18.
Senator Lucero offers the A18. It is in our packet. So, Senator Lucero, do you want to just describe your amendment?
Yes. The amendment would add to the existing language and statute, it would add to allow the POW and MIA flag, a flag of any branch of the armed forces, and the Blue Star Service flag or Gold Star Service flag to be allowed to be flown in HOAs and other any area that currently is required to be permitted to fly a flag.
Thank you, Senator Lucero. Members, questions or comments? Chair Howard.
Thank you, Chair Port. I would urge a no vote on this, not because of the content. I support the concept and the freedom that Minnesotans should have to fly flags like this. I just think, one, this provision hasn't received sort of vetting through the House. Two, I think we go down a little bit of a dangerous path when we're like these. Like I said, everybody should be able to fly flags like these, but I think we enter into a discussion about what about this flag and what about that flag, and there's probably a longer, more holistic conversation we should have about it. And so at this time, I'm a no vote on this.
Chair Igo?
Thank you, Chair Port. Also agree this is a good provision. I support everything about it. But I guess going on that note, like, this is something that probably should be included in, like, the state and local gov bill, not so much a housing conference committee report. And also my hope is, because the HOA Bill of Rights just got signed into law today by the governor, I'm hoping this is going to work to address some of the issues that we're seeing here. So unfortunately, I don't think it's the right place to put it in a housing conference report.
Other comments? I will just say this was adopted in the Senate. So I will support this with the Senate position. I appreciate Senator Lucero and Senator Duckworth's work on it, but I certainly hear the concerns from the other caucuses. And with that, Ms. Larson will take the roll.
Chair Port?
Aye.
Senator Bolden?
No.
Senator Lucero?
Yes.
Chair Howard?
No.
Chair Igo?
Igo, no.
Representative Kozlowski?
Kozlowski, no.
Representative Nash?
There not being a majority from all three caucuses, the amendment does not is not adopted. Senator Bolden, back to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would offer the A17.
Senator Bolden offers the A-17. Senator Bolden, do you want to describe that for us?
Yes, Madam Chair. So members, this is the provision that would limit private equity companies from large private equity companies from purchasing more than 100 single-family homes or owning more than 100 single-family homes. This is an effort to address the significant issue of private equity companies purchasing single-family homes. We've had a lot of discussion about this over years. I have carried this provision for years. And we have heard from community members, from regular Minnesotans who want to purchase a home, and we have had many conversations about how that is further out of reach for people every year, and this is a measure to help with that. We are seeing, you know, these companies swoop in, and they can purchase homes, you know, with a cash offer and no, you know, waive an inspection, you know, over asking, and people who live in those communities don't have a chance to compete with that. And so wanting to be sure that we are preserving opportunities for Minnesotans to purchase homes. This is a narrow measure to address that problem, and would ask for support and a roll call.
Thank you, Senator Bolden. Chair Igoe.
Thank you, Chair Report. Unfortunately, I can't be supporting this one. I know there's been a lot of discussion that we're seeing, not just here in the state of Minnesota, but across the country about these private equity bans. And I think there is room to have conversation on it. But with the dialogue happening at the federal government, I think there's a lot of questions to be asked, a lot of scenarios we should make sure to vet out. So I think this is something that shouldn't be going in today, but conversations will continue, data will continue to come in. We can kind of see how this conversation ebbs and flows to make sure we don't do anything with a knee-jerk reaction and cause more harm than good. So unfortunately, I can't support it today.
Representative Kozlowski.
Report, and just wanted to chime in support of this amendment, and thanks to Senator Bolden and to Representative Egbadje for really the work that's been done to root out the large swath of private equity firms. We're talking about the Blackstones of the world that are coming in, and Minnesotans are increasingly having to fight against these large corporations that, as I talked about last conference committee, you know, have $44 million. In my own community, we had almost 20 of our best starter homes taken up off of the market, and what would have been really affordable, great first-time homes have now been put back on the market for upwards of $1 million. And that's a huge disadvantage to Minnesotans. And for private equity firms, they are reaching at a pace of 4% of ownership, especially of our multifamily apartment buildings and single family homes. In some places in the country, that's 20%. And so just want to note that, as we've heard in committee, the Family Housing Fund talked about the research that went into show they're raising up prices, tacking on excessive fees, and really driving up an unaffordability for everybody. I'll note here in Minnesota, we've seen our private equity firms partnering to do more of a build to rent. We've seen that in the suburbs. There was a data that just came out that showed, you know, rent is $3,000 instead of offering those to be homes that we Minnesotans could buy. So just can't thank you enough for the work to make sure that we're putting home ownership into the hands of people and not corporations.
I will just add thank you, Senator Bolden, for your work on this. I know it's been 4 years or so that you've been working on this bill with Representative Egbadje as well. We talk a lot about affordability of housing and homeownership as like the greatest single factor in your ability to build generational wealth for your family. And this really does it does limit that opportunity for Minnesotans. And I think you've gotten to a really good place on this bill, and I'm excited to see it come back again next year and keep moving it. In the meantime, we will lose more houses to these private equity companies. But I do think that this is a really critical piece of that puzzle when we talk about bringing costs down and moving people into home ownership. It should be Minnesotans who are owning those homes, not just like a line on a ledger and balance sheet for a private equity firm. So I really appreciate your work on this. Seeing no other discussion, Ms. Larson will take the roll.
Chair Port?
Aye.
Senator Bolden?
Aye.
Senator Lucero?
No.
Chair Howard?
Aye.
Chair Igoe?
Igoe, no.
Representative Kozlowski?
Aye.
Representative Nash?
And there not being a majority from each of our caucuses, the amendment is not adopted. Chair Igoe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Before I move the amendment, do we want to revote on the amendment we do agree on to get a good roll call on it?
Maybe not a bad idea. I think that was the A12. Ms. Larson?
Yes, it would be the A12, Madam Chair.
Do you want to retake the A12?
I can do that. Chair Port?
Aye.
Senator Bolden?
Aye.
Senator Lucero?
Yes.
Chair Howard?
Aye.
Chair Igoe?
Igoe, aye.
Representative Kozlowski?
Aye.
Representative Nash?
There is a majority on each of the three caucuses and no nays, so the amendment is adopted. You're right, at least I got to say that once. Back to you, Chair Igoe.
Thank you, Chair Port. Well, hopefully we can continue this exciting movement that we're having with the A13 amendment. So I would like to move the A13 amendment.
Chair Igoe moves the A13 amendment. It's in your packets. Go ahead and explain it for us.
Thank you, Chair Port. The A13 is pretty straightforward. What it's going to be is a preemption on rent control in the state of Minnesota. Reason being is as we're talking about making sure we can return affordability to the marketplace, putting controls on rental housing and on housing in general never works out well for people. So this would be opening up Minnesota's markets to make sure we can continue to build diverse and affordable types of housing for all Minnesotans. And I encourage committee support.
Members, discussion. Chair Howard.
I am going to encourage a no vote. But I will say to Chair Igoe and this committee, I do think the legislature should have a longer conversation and maybe hear your bill about rent control and have a conversation about what it means to the development of new units of housing and what it means for Minnesotans and renters who are bringing it forward saying, you know, the system isn't working for us. I think we need a more holistic discussion around it, but I think it's a warranted one for next session. But I'm a no vote at this time.
I will just say that I think I agree with Chair Howard that this discussion should be part of the broader look that we are having at what is driving up costs across our state, both for rent and homeownership. And I do think there might be some prohibitions on our municipalities that are warranted. And I think that that fits in the broader conversation that we've been having about how to build more housing, how to make it more affordable, how to make sure that it's the kind of homes that Minnesotans want, and also that they can afford to live in the communities, you know, where they grew up and they want to come back and raise a family. And sometimes that looks like renting, and sometimes that looks like homeownership, and we really do need to be having a holistic conversation about addressing the pressures on all sides of that. So I also am a no vote today, but I do agree that we should have a broader conversation on this. Seeing no other discussion, Ms. Larson will take the roll.
Chair Port?
No.
Senator Bolden?
No.
Senator Lucero?
Pass.
Chair Howard?
No.
Chair Igoe?
Igoe, aye.
Representative Kozlowski?
No.
Representative Nash?
Unfortunately, Chair Igoe, there not being a majority in each of the three caucuses, the amendment is not adopted. Are there any other amendments, members? Seeing none, should we move on to discussion of the bill as a whole? Chair Howard.
Thank you, Chair Port. This is a really, really great bill that's going to do a lot of good for Minnesotans. to build thousands of units of homes, to help thousands of Minnesotans who are really struggling, and really put our state in a stronger position in partnership with our housing finance agency to bring to bear big solutions to the challenges we face. And, you know, this is the time of year where you do a bunch of thank yous a bunch of times, and so I think we'll save a lot of that for the floor. But just quick thank yous to our amazing staff that have worked around the clock, especially for the last several days. A big thank you to Commissioner Ho and the MHFA staff who have done around-the-clock work with us as well. And, you know, we wouldn't have this bill without incredible work of our staff. And so just huge thank yous there. A word about our partnership with the agency. You know, I think Commissioner Ho mentioned in her comments, you know, the desire, the shared goal of making sure that we're doing the things to address the challenges that Minnesotans are confronting around housing, and also making sure that the agency has the tools they need to have high program integrity, to continue to do well in implementing these programs. And through collaboration on this bill, I believe we've met that mark, and because of that collaboration with the agency, I think we have a stronger bill than the one just a few days ago that we talked about when we talked about the House and Senate bill. And I really feel like some of the reforms in this bill are about updates to transparency and, frankly, modernizing what is a growing and strengthening agency that since 2023 is expanding in the way it can meet our challenges. And so, you know, as you expand, there are changes. And I think we work together to address some of those changes that put us as a legislature and the agency in a stronger footing to keep growing, keep strengthening, keep doing more to address challenges. Because while this is a fantastic and important bill, we know we need to come back next year and do much more to address our housing shortage, to make Minnesota a better place where people can afford a place called home. And so thank yous all around. This agreement, this bill, I can't remember who mentioned it, but, you know, I don't know if we envisioned this level of investment or this level of strong reforms. It's a real testament to our work and partnerships all across the board, and I can't wait to pass this and send this to the governor.
Other discussion? Chair Igo.
Thank you, Chair Port. You know, I'll just start. This is a really good bill and one I'm proud to have worked on with every single one of the members of the conference committee. Thank you again to all of our staff. But if you would have told us that $165 million housing bill was going to be coming to agreement here at the weaning days of session when we started this year, no one would have believed it. And we did it, and we did it in a way that doesn't just pick one group of housing, doesn't pick one group of people. It's going to cover the entire state of Minnesota. There's money in here to build single-family homes, multifamily homes, manufactured housing. We're covering it all. We're also taking care of Minnesota's most vulnerable with provisions in this bill. We're setting up transparency and accountability for the future in our agencies to make sure that we can partner and continue to do great things moving forward for housing in the state of Minnesota. And we did that all in an incredibly bipartisan way. I really want to emphasize, like, the process I've had being a chair of housing for the last 2 years and working with you, Chair Port and Chair Howard, this is what Minnesotans expect the legislature to look like. And I think we've set an incredible precedent moving forward that, regardless of disagreements on certain things, and you saw that with amendments today, that there was things that we agreed on, didn't agree on. We had handled it in a very civil way and said we're going to continue to work together and solve things out, because that's what our constituents demand of us. It doesn't matter if they're Republicans or Democrats, and this bill represents a bill for all of Minnesota, and everyone is going to have their fingerprints on it some way, and we're going to make life better for everyone, whether they're right here in St. Paul or up on the range or in southern Minnesota or in western Minnesota. So I just really want to thank all of the staff that put in countless hours helping us critique stuff. You know, there's a lot of provisions in this bill that we had to come up with from scratch, and we wouldn't have been able to do it without their help. Thank you to the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency for all the back and forth and the work, because you can't do this standalone. It has to be collaborative. And when you're collaborative, you are going to butt heads, you're going to agree, you're going to disagree. But we resulted and really, really good bill, one that I'm proud to have my name on and proud to have done in collaboration with my fellow chair. So just thank you to everyone, and looking forward to its approval and bringing it back to the House floor and getting it to our governor. Thank you, everyone.
Senator Bolden.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have so appreciated serving on this committee, this session, and I'm really proud of this bill. It is an excellent bill. I also want to share thank yous to committee members, but especially staff. There is a whole lot of work that goes into putting a bill together and all of the pieces that get us to this point. And so really want to say thank you to them. And this will make a difference in people's lives. I'm especially grateful for the investment in FHPIP, making sure that we are looking out for the most vulnerable folks in a time when, you know, people are feeling squeezed from many directions, and housing being one of the most fundamental needs that people have, making sure that we are keeping people stably housed is not just the right thing to do. It also is just like the fiscally responsible thing to do. We know that it is far more cost effective to keep people housed rather than try to help them catch up later if they fall into homelessness. And so grateful for a bill that is making steps to improve people's lives in a time when we are in a housing crisis across the state. And certainly this bill is not going to fix all of that in just this one session. We know there is more work to do, and we are committed to that, but it definitely will make a difference and moves us in the right direction. So thank you.
Representative Kozlowski.
Thanks for your report, and I'll just add my gratitude and gigantic thanks to the Chamber of voices that have come before around staff, just looking around this room, and folks who have been working many, many hours, especially over the weekend. Even today, I saw you running all over the House floor and back and forth between the Senate, really making sure that what we're putting together is the best possible product, and one that I feel incredibly proud of as well, at a time when, you know, we heard story after story from Minnesotans who came to our committees, who we went out to their communities on housing tours across the state, and whether it's folks who are just looking for a place to rent their own and so that they can, you know, plant roots, or it's somebody who is making sure that a senior on fixed income can stay in the communities that they love, or it's our kids and seniors who are continuing to rise as the numbers of folks who are showing up in our homelessness system. This is going to have an impact on everybody and make material condition improvements to people's lives. You know, if you work a full-time job, I think in Minnesota, you should be able to have a home no matter what. But especially if you're working a full-time job, two and three jobs, you should be able to have a place to call home. And right now, you know, that's not like a niche problem. That is a middle-class, working-class squeeze. And I'm thinking through, you know, some of the stories that we heard of one Minnesotan said, you know, this used to be a place that I love, it, and now it's just a place that I live and where I actually feel trapped. One woman mentioned in a committee, and her story, didn't mean to lose 20 pounds, but I had to make really tough decisions between paying my mortgage or putting food on the table and paying medicine. To out in Minnesota, greater Minnesota, I'll say this committee is well represented, which I really appreciate. You know, we have just a little bit different challenges. Things are just a little bit more expensive. We have lack of transportation and transit access, especially for our tribal nations. We have an already really strained hospitals and ER system, as well as our homelessness infrastructure. And thinking about a teacher from northeastern Minnesota who shared with me that she was leaving school one day, noticed her student was walking down the street with a garbage bag, and, you know, stopped to check in, hey, did you miss the bus, do you need a ride home? And that student's mom and siblings came out from the bushes behind, and they actually were fleeing domestic violence situation, and that teacher called, reached out to our office, were able to get them connected. The nearest family shelter that they could get into was in North Branch area. And so we know the work that this is going to do. This means more homes for teachers and educators, firefighters, nurses, working class families, but also it means kids and families can stay in their districts, and it means like manufacturers can hopefully find employees who have places to live and call home. So so much more to say, but just really a lot of gratitude and thank you, and look forward to getting this done, get it across the 1 yard line.
Thank you for that, Representative Kozlowski. Well, I'll just say, I just got like a little sweaty. Like I'm a little, like it feels like it's been so much work and passion and advocacy and it kind of feels unreal that we're here at the end of this session with this bill in front of us. I'm so proud of this bill. It is a needed investment of dollars into our community. It is a forward-looking investment in transparency and updated systems with the agency. I remember when in 2023, when Chair Howard and I were named the housing chairs, that our goal was to like massively grow what the legislature did for housing. And Mike used to carry around a gallon of water and a tablespoon and be like, this is how much housing is. And we're changing that. We are changing that. And it's not always fast, but it is important. It's really, really important. And I think over the course of the last 8 years, my 6 years in the legislature, our 4 years being chairs, these last 2 years with bipartisan chairs, every single time we've taken a step forward. And I think that is what is really different about the Housing Committee and just makes me so proud of the work that the advocates do, that we're able to do in our committees, that the agency is able to do and undertake the big projects that we give them. And I am incredibly proud to pass this bill, and I am also just really excited to keep moving forward with the progress that we've done. I think we all know that this isn't the end. There's more work to do, both policy and in investment. And I think we have shifted in the legislature as a whole how important housing is, and that is a critical win that will have dividends to pay for years to come. So grateful to this conference committee for the work, but also to our committees, our housing committees, and the work that they do all year. And again, to staff, nonpartisan, MHFA, our legislative staff, Lori and Benji and Jack and CJ, and like countless other people who prop us up. This is all because we were able to work together as a team, and I'm really, really grateful for that work. Now I think I have a long thing that I'm supposed to read. Seeing no further amendments or discussion, I move to direct nonpartisan staff to prepare a conference committee report and incorporation of the spreadsheet. And I also move that nonpartisan staff are empowered to make technical and conforming changes to the language approved by this conference committee in order to reflect the intent of this conference committee. And Ms. Larson will take the roll.
Chair Port?
Aye.
Senator Bolden?
Aye.
Senator Lucero?
No.
Chair Howard?
Aye.
Chair Iga?
Iga, aye.
Representative Kozlowski?
Kozlowski, aye.
And Representative Nash?
There being 5 ayes and 1 nay and a majority from each caucus, the report is adopted and nonpartisan instructed to carry that out. Thank you very, very much to everyone. And with no other business in front of us, we are adjourned.